There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Let's go, baby. What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? Hey. One more time for the good times. Better fly. What's good? We welcome in here to the Thursday, October 3rd edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Borling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
man. We got it. So maybe this waits for the break or whatever the case may be. I'm not finished with McMahon. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of thoughts. I'm like 3.5 episodes in. I got a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
I got a couple thoughts.
I'm anxious to hear it. I'm anxious to hear it. We got thoughts on all sorts of things, man. We're happy you're here, whether it's on YouTube, Twitch, 98.5 FM, HD2, 1320 AM. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, man, it don't matter. We are just happy that you are walking with us as King season is back underway. Training camp jumping off right now. We will bring you sound from that as soon as we can. Always an adventure.
We get to play DFCL, hopefully.
We do. We might have to start a Malik Monk league here pretty soon.
Kentucky Connection.
The Kentucky Connection, indeed. A couple of notes, though. Man, Sacramento is booming right now.
Mm.
And this is really what I wanted to start the show with. And I'll mention this. Mark Orr, Sac State Athletic Director, is going to be with us tomorrow.
Come on, man.
We're working on a few other things with Sac State, but Mark Orr is going to be with us tomorrow. We got a loaded guest list set up for tomorrow.
Yes.
Chris Haynes already scheduled to appear. Eddie Gonzalez with us for his weekly visits on Friday. Of course, James Hamm in the last hour of the show. So it's going to be a big Friday, man, but Sacramento is booming right now. The Sacramento sports scene is booming
right now. It's going crazy right now. The renderings for that stadium that popped out, shout out to Jay Gayton, CBS 13. They had the exclusive.
Mm.
That thing looks amazing. It looks amazing. Now, what I have learned is that through a number of different like relocation stuff and like, listened to, I forgot my man's name, but he'd been talking about the A's and he worked on the Marlins getting their stadium. He said something that he's like, renderings are made to get people excited and to mm-hmm. get people to spend money. So of course it's going to look like the stadium on steroids or whatever the case.
We saw the Vegas one. Remember the
exactly
that wild Oakland A's stadium that we saw.
Yeah, and that's when he used that example. But this one it worked because I'm excited. this looks. I can't, and I think this is going to get done. Like, I don't even think this is something, because from everything that I know and that I've heard about it, funds are secured. Like, it's not like we got to votes, whatever, tuition raises and all this other stuff has been passed. I'm sure there's still some red tape that needs to be taken care of. But this isn't the same as, look at this rendering, it's going on the ballot in November. This is pretty much, the way I understand it, about to happen. I can't imagine what this is going to look like in real life. I can't imagine walking up to Sac State and seeing that stadium. It is going to be a hell of a time at Sac State when that thing goes up. That's a game changer right there. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is incredibly exciting to think about how this sports scene in this city is growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coinciding with the Kings you know, perhaps having the best team that they've had in 20 some odd years. I expect them to be better than Beam Team One, and certainly better than last year. And then you've got the A's coming in to take home in Sacramento here for a little bit. Mm-hmm. We got the NCAA men's tournament mm-hmm. coming back in 2027.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah, man. I was doing some research yesterday, and I hadn't heard this anywhere. It is absolutely official. I hadn't heard nobody report on it. I hadn't heard nothing. The women's regional final will be here in Sacramento in 2026. The two locations, I think the other one was Birmingham, Alabama, and Sacramento. And we had talked about this a few months ago, when there were seven locations in consideration. Sacramento was one of them. It's like, mm-hmm. man, it'd be dope if we get one of these regional finals. And yeah, I don't, to be honest, I don't know when this was finalized. I couldn't find like a press release or anything. You just go to the NCAA's website and they got the future sites on there all the way up to 2028. And yes, Sacramento is getting the women's regional final in 2026. That is major. I'm so excited for March Madness and the first two rounds and all this other stuff for the men's tournament in 2027. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fantastic. I'm not going to lie to you guys. This might be better to get the regional final of the women's game, which we all were in agreement this past season. The women's college basketball game and the women's tournament, a lot of people's belief was better than the men's tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just ascending up with the talent that they have and the stars that they have in women's college basketball. Now, I was doing the math and everything. This checks out, unless something crazy happens, as Juju's junior year. SC could be here with a trip to the Final Four on the line with a junior Juju Watkins in the Golden One Center. I think this is amazing.
Did you say the other site?
I think it's Alabama.
It's Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
It's Fort Worth,
okay.
Texas. Yeah. And the 2026 women's Final Four.
Alabama might be this year, I think.
It is. You're correct. Yeah, Alabama's this year. It's Alabama in Spokane. The 2026 Final Four is in Phoenix.
Mm.
So you tie this all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We right here. You hop over to Phoenix for the Final Four. And
that's what we're going to do.
Hey. Let's see.
Speaking it into
what year is this? 2026?
Right now.
Man, I hope we I hope we got a rooting interest.
Well, man, I think they're gonna keep them in Texas. I was hoping
they
Coach
wouldn't
K.
get out here. Well,
I was hoping Coach K, I don't
so there's
know.
Two there's two things. I mean, I guess those are the only two places.
Yeah.
Fort Worth or Sacramento. I mean, if that's the case, you send them here.
Yeah.
She got a market here. You got a story here.
Yeah.
Come send her here. You don't send her to Fort Worth, Texas.
Come on,
there
man.
There ain't no ties to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
They act like that stuff doesn't matter. They lying. That
absolutely
stuff does
matters.
Matter.
Yeah.
That stuff absolutely matters.
Yeah. So, I I hadn't seen anybody talk about that. And I don't know what the issue is. Matter of fact, I take that back.
Maybe it got released on the same day Malik Monk signed and we missed. Maybe it happened like when DeMar signed here.
Maybe
and we
so.
Just
yeah,
missed
we
it
just,
all.
We just missed it. I will give a shout out.
Because Kenny's not getting Chatty House. It's on the NCAA. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It's a shoot.
I give a salute to our guy Brandon Benitez over at CBS 13 because mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. watching the news
Man.
Last night.
We've been trying to put Brandon on this show.
Brandon.
We got Brandon. That's my next week, Brandon. It's going to happen.
But Brandon was reporting on the news of the men's tournament coming
mm-hmm.
here for March
mm-hmm.
Madness coming here
mm-hmm.
and he was just doing his job, but it was kind of like a throwaway line. He was like, yeah, the women's tournament will be here in 2026 and the men's tournament will be here in 2027. And I said wait, what?
It seems inconceivable, but did we just miss it?
I don't know. Well, look, if you try, well, maybe you have a better
No, I'm on the same website you are.
But even for like finding a story.
No,
like
I'm on the same website you are.
Yeah.
I couldn't, when you search it, not much comes up.
Right.
So I went to the Future Dates website and it's right there.
Yeah. And like I said, Brandon said it's a throwaway line on the telecast. He's like, yeah, the women will be here in 2026 and the men will be here in 2027. I said, what'd you just say? to myself, to the TV, of course. I said, what did he just say? So then I searched, and sure enough, there come the regional final. That is, and then I was like, well, maybe I got it confused. And I was like, no, because they do home sites for the first two rounds. They don't do first two rounds in neutral sites. So the first time they travel is for the regional finals.
You know where I think it got buried?
Huh.
It got announced yesterday.
Mmm.
It was announced almost in conjunction with the men's announcement.
I see.
That's probably why it was missed.
And you know,
like I'm looking like every headline says March Madness return. In fact, some of our people need to do a little bit better.
Yeah, and those are our people, but yeah, come on now.
They all say, so I'll read the exact headline from a local news site. Mm-hmm. The NCAA announced Wednesday the Golden One Center in Sacramento will host games in the first and second rounds of men's Division I college basketball in March of 2027. The headline, men's Division I college basketball returns to Sacramento in 2027. Additionally, women's Division I college basketball regionals will also return to the Golden One Center in 2026.
And it makes sense that it all came out yesterday, because one of the articles I did see is like one of the headlines was Vegas and Philadelphia get a regional in like 28.
Mm.
And it was announced. It was like, oh yeah, Vegas, a women's tournament final, regional tournament final. And I was like, oh, all right, well, if they got 28, when did they start releasing all this other stuff?
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Maybe they did 26, 27, 28 all in a row yesterday or something like that.
Apparently they did.
Yeah. But I think that's major. And that just adds to everything that's going on around here right now, man. Because the sports scene is booming in this city right now. And it is happening at a rapid pace.
Yeah, man. Yeah man. Sacramento, new title town. We'll come back, man. We are thrilled that you're here with us. We're just getting started. Week 5 of the NFL season gets underway tonight.
It's a good one.
What a fantastic football game.
Yeah, they got this one right.
Y'all know I can't wait for that. Plus, we'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings. We'll go around the NBA as well. We're thrilled that you're here with us. We're just getting started. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line is open for you. 916-909-1320. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Hey, Mr. WCW over here.
It's not like we're talking about, like, Bischoff really just eats off of just that two-year run or whatever. That's all it ever was.
He did something nobody else was ever able to do. And the whole thing about it was he had, and they were right, Meltzer and all them, because I'm watching this before Meltzer even says it. I'm like, Vince was hot. He was pissed. He didn't know which way was up. He was flummoxed by the whole situation. I was like, why are you so mad? He just did what you did.
He did, yeah.
He just did what you did. What you upset about?
Vince's line about...
Vince was sounding like Rick James for a second. When he was like, what? People say that what I think and what I believe are two different things. Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with it. No, it was definitely unethical.
Vince's line about, what Eric Bischoff did to you, isn't that what you did to all the territories before? He was like, well, no, Eric was trying to put me out of business. I was just trying to help my own business.
Like Rick James.
You little jackass. Will you shut up?
He sounded like Rick James.
But that's what makes all of the WWE production, like, terrible, because they tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what that was, but I mean, if you've ever watched the Monday Night Wars on the network or any A&E thing, it's always told through the spectrum of, oh, Vince was just trying to build a business, and Eric Bischoff came along. And then tried to bleed him dry. It's like, come on, man. Like, y'all are ridiculous. They had more money.
Yeah.
So they paid it. And ultimately, what was there? And this, like, for those who weren't, like, during the commercial break, Mr. Atlanta over here, Mr. Eric Bischoff.
I got to keep it real.
Fucking Ted Turner over here.
He tried telling us, yeah, Goldberg actually won 180-0.
I gotta keep it real. Now, mind you, I was WWF to the core.
Sure.
Like, That was my people. I was 100% with WWE.
You and Bastion Booger and Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Hey, Eric Bischoff did that.
No, now that we're talking more, I can't believe Kenny. You know who's dope? Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, no,
come on, bro.
No, he's pretty crazy.
No.
He killed that. What was it, about 3 years?
So,
because I'm talking Luger. What he did with Luger.
The build from September 95 to... maybe end of 98, early 99. Like, it might have been over by then. But the thing that helped build them was money. Mm-hmm. The thing that killed them was money. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. they were murdered by the same thing that gave them birth.
Right.
And it's crazy. Like, we joke, like, it's a 3 year one. Mm. That's all Austin's run was.
Mm.
That's like the Rock's might have been a little bit longer, but as like the guy where he's around,
right?
It's like 4 years.
Right.
Like, the whole Attitude Era thing is so short. It's such a small like time frame that everyone romanticizes, I think, because of the two shows and the fact that there were boobs and blood all over your TV every week.
Goodness.
The if you break it like the Ruthless Aggression. That's way better. That era of wrestling's way that's Brock and Kurt, that's Eddie Guerrero, that's the growth of Edge, that's the emergence of John Cena. Like, that era of wrestling is so much better, but it's not romanticized the same way because there's no competition. There aren't two channels. Hogan's not really a part of it. He is, but he's like a side character on it. And it's silly.
Yeah,
look at this guy.
Nah, Eric
what's your line? Take a lap.
Eric
Fence
Bischoff.
Back, pal.
When Eric Bischoff broke down, and it's pretty simple, but he broke down, he's like, I'm not going to get in their lane. I'm going to just do what they can't do to the max.
Yeah, I love that. The way he describes that, because he's been pretty consistent with that story, and I never felt like it was made up. What can I do differently? So you take this pen and paper and you write down, here's what they do, how can I do it differently? And he always starts with, they were taped, so we were going to be live. They were cartoonish, we wanted to be based in reality. That's brilliant, because it creates like a legitimate alternative. AEW, I think, did some of that. AEW celebrated 5 years yesterday. They've got a new television deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. Like, they're working in with HBO Max or Max now to, you know, to try to get a, you know, they need to establish like a streaming archive for people. But like, they did a lot of that. What can we do like differently? I think they may have gone overboard a little bit with some of that stuff. But they have created like a legitimate alternative. They need to reel it in before it gets out of control. Right. Well, you might argue we've already hit that point, but they need to reel it in a little bit. But I think they've done a very good job of creating something different.
Yeah. So Bischoff, like I said, I forgot exactly what the conversation was, but there was a question on whether or not Bischoff is top five wrestling personality, or can you tell the story? Like, I forgot what.
Well, you
was.
Can't tell the story. Like, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
You cannot tell the story of professional wrestling without Eric Bischoff. Like, there's absolutely no way you could tell that story.
Eric Bischoff was Derrick Rose. Is that accurate?
No. God, no.
Stop.
No. No.
Derrick Rose was going to be like a Hall of Famer and all that, and he just tore his knees up. Like, Bischoff.
Yeah,
kinda...
well, he wasn't, because
Bischoff is low key Peyton Hillis.
Okay, wait a minute. Now you stop. Yeah, you
relax,
stop it.
Relax.
That's crazy.
He had
relax.
A good year.
No.
He won the Madden cover, and then it all went bad.
Peyton Hillis is
relax.
Crazy.
What and like I said, watching the doc, and you know, Bischoff is a professional talker, so he might have some things out.
What king on the current roster is Eric Bischoff?
I don't think he's any of them, because I don't think
Jesse's like, he's Alex Lynn.
it's just a quick little great blurb. That's what I meant by Derrick Rose. It was a quick great, like, we'll never forget Derrick Rose. We'll never forget those 3 years of WCW.
That feels disrespectful to Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose, the later years, at least wasn't WCW in 2000.
Yeah, well,
settle down.
Well, it wasn't good, but also, like, Derrick Rose.
Sidney Dean says Bischoff was Terrence Davis.
Hey,
That's not bad.
Hey, it's sensational.
They're saying Herder. Herder.
Could be Herder. Year one.
Yeah.
Herder year one. It was crazy. Herder year two was the new blood. It was unmasked Rey Mysterio. That was year two Herder.
Bischoff. I was most impressed, and maybe also with how he made Vince react. Vince had no idea what to do.
For sure.
He was squirming. He was reaching. I'm going to sue you, all this. Like,
shout out Terrence Davis, the Milwaukee Bucks, Terrence Davis.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even catch that.
He got an Exhibit 10, I think.
All right, TD, do your thing.
Get that spot, baby.
But, he had Vince looking crazy. And... yeah, those 3 years was crazy. So,
can I say something else?
Yeah.
I think we're overdoing the Derrick Rose run a little bit.
What do you mean?
Like,
he ready to fight you. You heard that? You heard it?
No, I heard it. No, it's fine. No, Jesse's fired up. It's good. I like when Jesse's fired up.
What do you mean?
Like, no, it was a quick little. I'm going to use your line. The story of basketball can be told without Derrick Rose. It's weird.
I don't like
because
that.
Because he's
probably not wrong.
He's an MVP. He's probably the – I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
He shouldn't.
He's probably the only MVP – he's not probably. He's the only MVP who's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, at least to this point.
I'll push back on that a little bit. I don't know if you can – like,
what are you telling me?
That's one of – like, I've never seen a point guard like him. I've never seen a point guard with that speed, that athleticism, that strength.
He could be a footnote.
I've never seen that. Think about all the great point guards.
I understand.
I ain't never seen nothing
He'll be a footnote in the Russell Westbrook episode.
Derrick Rose's
story low-key never got pen to paper.
That's right. That's it. It's not like Derrick Rose was trash.
But
it was just a blink of an eye.
Think about somebody else in the game of basketball that you say you can't tell a story about, and you say, I ain't never seen nothing like that.
Yeah, but it's not his story. Well, I mean,
I don't know if you can. That's why you can't just dismiss his
Sean Kemp. Was Sean Kemp the most explosive forward at the time we've ever seen?
I mean, that might be doing too much. Amari Stoudemire. I've seen, you know, a number
well,
of different
Sean
power
Kemp
forwards.
Was first.
But not first. I've never seen anything like that.
You've never seen anything like Derrick Rose since Derrick Rose?
Who?
Russell Westbrook.
I feel like that's pretty.
I'll say those two. And Russ isn't really a point guard like that. Like, I look at Derrick Rose like a point guard. Russ was like Malik. I'm a guard.
Get it right.
So I look at Russ like that. But I'll even put both of them in there. I've never seen point guards like that in my life. And even right now, I haven't seen anything like those two guys.
I wholeheartedly agree. But if you're – okay, crawl before you walk. Can you tell a story of basketball without Russell Westbrook?
No.
Okay. Derrick Rose is a footnote in Russell Westbrook's story. I don't think you stop and create an episode about Derrick Rose because that time is about LeBron and the Heatles more than anything else. You could note that they're getting chased. Mm-hmm. You could note that they might not have, you know, what might have happened. You could have done all of this what ifs. But when you're doing the Russell Westbrook story, you go back to there might have only been one guy in history who looked like Russell Westbrook on the floor. Then you get the flashback and you show Derrick Rose and you tell the story
of
Derrick Rose.
That's part of the story, too, though. I mean, regardless if he's piggybacking or not, like, that's part of the story. Like,
oh, yeah, I'm not suggesting
he's
going to get ignored.
He's part of someone else's story.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get ignored. I just don't think it's his story.
People in the chat say Ja Morant. Ja is not Derrick Rose.
It's not similar games, though?
They do. He's not as physically dominant as Derrick Rose was. Like, Ja is a high flyer, but he's a little skinny guy. He's flying all over the
court. But he's I think what people associate Derrick Rose with is the explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook. And I guess, I think I'm going to hold off on Ja, but say for sure Derrick Rose and Russell. Like, they play like with like anger.
Mm-hmm.
Like every movement is, we were talking about ruthless aggression. Every movement they make is with ruthless aggression.
Yeah.
And Ja is crazy explosive. I don't know if he's that, though.
He doesn't have the force that Russ and Derrick Rose. Like, when I talk about, like I said, the one that just keeps coming through my head is Derrick Rose on Goran Dragic. Like, that was so physically dominating.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, I'm just jumping higher than you, and I'm going to reach out and dunk over you or whatever the case may be. That was two hands. We going to meet chest to chest in the air, and I'm going to send you flying as I dunk. Like, that was one of the nastiest things I've ever seen. And Jaws, he's explosive. He got that, but he doesn't have the physical presence, I think, of a Derrick Rose.
You think Derrick Rose, I've had this take, I guess, in my mind for a week or whatever since Derrick Rose retired. You think he would have had a better shot at the Hall of Fame, a better case if he just retired after the fourth year we just blew up his knee again? We're kind of like, it's left for us to kind of tell his legend of what he could have been.
He'd be more...
Where just he ends and he's MVP, conference finals. Like, he was that guy, which was cut short because of his injuries.
I feel like, possibly, I feel like if nothing else, he'd be more sympathetic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, well...
Because I feel like
Bo Jackson's not in the Hall of Fame. That's true. You know what I mean? Like, but he...
Bo never won MVP, though, no?
No, he didn't.
Did he ever get Offensive Player of the Year, maybe?
No.
No?
No, he never played more than like half a season.
Oh, see,
he'd play baseball and come, like, he'd just finish one, go play the other.
So, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful. I really don't, because, like, we lived through Bo. We can't talk about football without talking about Bo. I don't think you can tell the story. I don't think you can tell the story.
What story are you telling?
About the history of the stars of the game, the best players to ever play. You got to
These stories that you, boy, these are going to be.
I don't think this Hall of Fame criteria, by the way.
No, I don't. No. Bo's not Hall of Fame criteria. Well, no, I'm
story,
not suggesting
like, telling
that.
The story of this sport, like with this player. I don't think.
You're saying you don't have to be a Hall of Famer to be part of the story.
Well, even if you can't tell the story, I don't think that makes you a Hall of Famer.
No, that's fair too. I'm not even making an argument that Bo is a Hall of Famer. I'm saying
I think you can. I just, like, what's the chapter?
One of the greatest running backs we've ever seen. Career cut short, but he was a phenomenon.
You don't tell story about Bo. You tell that story about Dion, no?
I mean, Dion gets his own chapter.
Maybe Bo's a footnote in Dion's story, or maybe Bo's a footnote in Barry's story.
Maybe.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out, because when I think you tell the story, it's like you're leading to this part. Like, you were talking about the documentary. Mm-hmm. It led to the Shane and Stephanie part. That was essentially an episode and a half, right? The Shane, Stephanie, the kids, the dynamic, the things like that. What are we building the story around? I don't think you can build a story around Bo other than he was a freakish athlete. He's not the only freakish athlete we've ever seen in the NFL. He was special. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely special. I'll never forget him. But, like, I don't know that Reese will ever care about him. It's not like watching, like, Reese, I don't know if he does or doesn't, but, like, he watches Jordan. Mm-hmm. You could watch Jordan or Magic and understand, oh, wow. I don't know if kids will go back and watch Bo and go, oh, so he was like Derrick Henry. Right?
Yeah, true. But at the same time, like, that's where, like, when we're telling a story and we're talking about people, they'll be like, Reese will be like, man, I ain't never seen nothing like, there ain't never been nothing in the league like Derrick Henry. Like, hold on, young fella.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. There was this man, let me pull up some things on this dude that played for the Raiders and then played at Auburn, and let me show you some of the things he was doing. Right? Like, that's what it is. Like, maybe they do that with, like, Earl Campbell or something like that, the people older than us. But that's part of telling the story. If somebody says, man, this is the best, we ain't never seen nothing like this, hold on. I'm gonna show you. What would it? And that's where Derrick Rose comes into play. If, let's just say, John Morant, Reese is like, man, there ain't never been nothing like John Morant. Well, hold on, player. let me pull up this dude in Chicago and early Russell Westbrook and all this other stuff like that. Yeah. That and that's kind of what I mean by
Penny. Penny Hardaway is a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so.
Either. Yeah, Penny wasn't Grant Hill. Like, Grant Hill dealt with the injuries, but was still a Hall of Fame player. I don't think that Anthony Hardaway was.
No, not enough.
He never really got himself back on track the way, at least for a sustained period of time, like Grant Hill did.
Yeah, I remember that about a month ago. So we talked about, he did an interview and he's like, yeah, the microfracture just killed me.
Right.
Just killed me. It was never right after that. But he's one of those guys. Now, he's on the borderline of whether or not you could tell the story or not, because he was a phenomenon too. When
he's a part of Shaq's.
Orlando.
He's part of, yeah, he's part of that story.
What they did, they were like the coolest.
And that's an important part, because it bridges the Jordan eras. Mm-hmm. So that's a it's a longer episode than the Rockets episode is. I'll tell you that. They didn't win nothing.
You ain't lying.
But that episode on the Orlando Magic is going to be longer than that episode on the Houston Rockets.
The Rockets part is like, you know, the people I don't like on Snowfall. I just gotta tap out. Like, all right, when do we get back? When we get back to the people I want to see. Two things though from the doc too. And I like the guy. I do like the guy. I feel bad having to say this, but
Vince Russo, man, what a guy Russo was.
You know what? I didn't hate when he won the title.
No, he was a clown.
David Arquette won the WCW title, that was good
stuff. Except Vince Russo always had that Giants jersey on for whatever reason. I don't know why, but shout out to him for that.
He's a New York guy.
Oh, he's like Mad Dog.
Yeah, so the original Giants.
That's how Mad Dog is a Giants fan.
Okay.
Whatever.
You got
Kenny Vince Russo and Mad
Dog. Man, I'll take your word for it, buddy. Whatever you say, pal.
But I hate to say this because I like the guy, man, but Bret Hart comes off real bad in that.
Bret Hart comes off.
Thank you.
I said, Bret, will you quit all your whining and complaining and all your moral high ground? You're not going to catch me doing coke in the back of the... Oh, shut up.
What I did was art. What we did was art, me and Undertaker. We led that. All right, bro. Shut congrats. Up.
And I'm with you. Vince and damn Triple H, they were right.
Yeah, Triple H said,
F it, we'll do business for him then.
Facts.
They were right. And then, like, you mentioned it plenty of times, but laying out the how things were going at that time, there's no way Vince will just be like, oh, no, we'll do it your way. But there's no way.
Yeah.
Bro, I just got done talking about how Bret or Vince was reeling. Vince was on the ropes. Like, there's no way Vince should have handled it any other way.
You know how many times I've been told growing up the story, oh, yeah, they screwed Bret. They did Bret so dirty. And then I come to grow up and realize, no, Bret was just being an ass.
Yeah, that's it. That's facts.
I really do like Bret. I think Bret, I like him, but he just comes
off number so bad. The number one thing that will ruin the Bret Hart experience, and our friend won't do this,
just listen to him talk.
Yeah, no, it's not even that. It's not even that, because you'll read his book. Mm. When you read his book, you walk away like, this is the biggest jackass I've ever met. Like, because it's 500 pages of, the only thing I did wrong was I slept with other women, and I wasn't faithful to Julie, and all of this like nonsense, and it's like, all right.
He comes off as such like better than or whatever.
Well, he's the only guy. The thing I'll always say about Bret is he comes across as the only guy who doesn't know it's a work. Like, he doesn't know, like, I'm sure Bret Hart, the person, I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. Your legions of fans are for Bret the Hitman Hart, the character. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have the ability to differentiate the two, that's your problem.
Yeah, that's on you.
But no one goes, man, I can't wait to go see Mark Calloway. No, it's I want to go see The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go see, what's his name, Joseph Anoa'i. Mm-hmm. No, I want to see the Tribal Chief.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem to...
When they...
He doesn't seem to get that.
When they said after he signed the contract, Brett started telling him the loopholes to get out. I mean, Vince told him the loopholes to get out. He said it wasn't working. It just wasn't working.
He made me laugh too when he was talking about the curtain call. I was like, yeah, that's the day wrestling died and blah blah blah. Our business, relax, dude, it's fine.
All right,
settle down.
Wrestling died, sir. I also would like to point out, Mr. Hart, sir, you realize the WWE exploded like 3 months after you left.
Just took off.
And I just
went to another level.
I just wish Vince, after all of these years, would have said, look, it was Bret or Sean, and I picked Sean.
What I've learned too, we got Madrid 55 in the chat. People who love Bret Hart, like, love Bret Hart.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Absolutely.
It's one or the other. Like, if you're down with Bret Hart, like, that's your guy.
Don't say nothing bad about Bret. Here's another one. All right, man. All right, look. Y'all been dogging me all segment. So I'm just got to keep it real.
He's gonna tell us about Ted Turner right now.
We don't like the guy at all. We don't like the guy at all.
Man,
we don't like him.
Okay,
we don't like. He ain't with us. I don't rock with him at all.
Go ahead.
It's like how I say, hey, I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but he was a hell of a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Go ahead.
Hulk bodied that Bash at the Beach promo. He bought. No, look, am I wrong? Am I wrong? We're adults. We're having a conversation. Jesse, am I wrong? Am I wrong? No, oh, they leaving me on the island. You see how they do that? You see how they do it here, boy? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Look, hey, look. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to start to have some conversations soon. I think we're going to have some conversations soon where we're going to be doing the same thing. that's a whole nother conversation. But they're going to be like, man, yeah, he was him. But, man, he bodied this verse or he bodied this track. All I'm saying is he killed that Bash at the Beach promo. That might be the best thing he ever did.
Oh, there's no doubt that promo is the best
thing
he
ever did. That might be the best thing he ever did in wrestling.
None of it works if he doesn't hit on that promo.
It's been a while since I listened to it, but I was like, damn, he kind of did that. What'd he say when he started off? He said, I came from the company up north and I made them. I was like, oh, damn. All right.
Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan.
I made that company up north a monster, brother.
Like, they're both jackasses, the real person and the character or whatever, because the rest, all they talking about, yeah, he cooked.
All this comes because I was watching the doc.
I can't wait till episode 6 when he tells us what a great performer Chris Benoit was.
Oh wow,
Jesus! Hey. I can't wait for that episode.
Hey, that's real. Hey, separate the wrestler from. Do they really say that about that guy?
Nah, he was overrated anyway.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm not discussing his.
Hulk Hogan in the doc, though, is just literally, it's like, you could tell, like, bro, you just lie through your teeth.
No, even Vince was like, just tell the truth. Even Vince told him, just tell the truth.
When I did that relive episode, I took the Arsenio interview that he did, and I clipped every time he said basically. And I think it was like 15 times or something like that, where he just kept going, well, basically, brother, a doctor said that he injected Hulk Hogan with steroids, brother, and basically, and it's just, yeah, that dude.
Man, if Vince is telling you to tell the truth, you know you got a problem.
Bro, you really said, you know what? Eric Bischoff is cool, and so is Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Well, no. See how the media does
Kenny,
you?
Ted, Turner, Caraway.
Eric Bischoff is cool. Hulk Hogan is not. Eric,
well, so we can't stick tweet. Around. Who the hell knows what Kenny's going to say
next? So we can't tweet Hulking out gifts anymore?
Oh, no.
Can't tweet
Hulking out gifts?
No, oh, that's okay.
Okay.
I think that's okay. No?
I don't need that guy.
I mean, we talk about Kenny.
Bro, you literally just.
No, I said he bodied a promo. I gave him that, but I ain't going to be tweeting him.
What if it's the Ultimate Warrior gift? Can we use that one?
You could always use Ultimate Warrior.
All right.
Wait, no, if you're talking about. No, I know which one you're talking about now. Never mind. Nope, can't use that one.
All right, we'll come back. We'll shift our attention towards the Sacramento Kings when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. You know what's funny about that? It just dawned on me. We didn't know that the Toronto crowd was going to react that way for Hogan and Rock. They had the heel turn planned for the babyface turn planned at the end.
Mm.
It's all a lie.
They knew
bro.
Something.
It's
they were confident in the way that Canadian crowd was going to react because they had that babyface turn planned for the end of the match.
I wonder how they were like.
Well, Canada's always loved Hogan. I think that's okay. why. Like okay. they have they
didn't they go for Warrior though?
Nah, it was, pretty split. It was okay. pretty split. But like when Warrior came back, nobody go to see him. Mm-hmm. They only came to see Hogan. They'd rather see Hogan in Earthquake than Warrior versus
I remember
anybody.
I was mad because I was like, man, I don't like Warrior. I'm a Hulkamaniac.
No, apparently, apparently you still are.
No.
That's today's show title.
I've been a Hulkamaniac for decades now.
Bro, wrestling is just all lies. I think I saw Daniel Bryan say it once. He said Redacted McMahon told him, yeah, just lie, bro. It's wrestling. Just lie. He's like, okay.
Well, all right. Thank you, Vince. As we keep it moving here, keep it moving. We might just be starting the show at this point between Disney and wrestling. I'm not really sure. We did get that Sac State stuff out there earlier. Again, Mark Orr is going to be with us tomorrow. We got a loaded Friday show for you. Chris Haynes will be with us. Mark Orr, athletic director for Sac State, will be with us. Eddie Gonzalez and James Hamm will be with us as well. We talked about DeMar and the impact of new players on new teams and all of that yesterday. We talked a little bit about Clay. We talked a little bit about Paul George, and I was reading some things this morning we were just talking about. What about Russell Westbrook? Mm. I know it's a smaller role than Clay, definitely a smaller role than Paul George, but it feels like it could wind up being really important for Denver not stagnating too much.
I don't think I don't think he's on that level of having something to prove. I think he's.
Well, I'm not talking about something to prove. I'm talking about the impact. Like, is Russell Westbrook, like we were talking about Clay, is that an impactful move, you know, for, you know, like what are the challenges that Clay faces with Luka and Kyrie? Mm-hmm. Paul George, I said Paul George was a guy who has something to prove. Like, what does Russ have an impact on Denver?
I don't think so, honestly. Oh, yeah. I think he's at a point.
Go ahead, you answer this. Go ahead.
I think it's at a point.
Why'd you ask me this question?
I think it's
Well, you don't have to be a little coward about it because I don't think he does either.
It's almost like
I don't want to say it.
It's not as insignificant, but it's just kind of like Russ isn't going to add any wins, I don't think. Like, you needed a backup point guard and you got one. It's a good backup point guard, but that's what it is at this point.
Russ, I got to do my job. Russ is cooked. It doesn't mean he's a scrub or anything else like that, but he's not going to elevate your team at this point in his career.
I feel like you brought up Clay. I feel like Clay could, I don't know how much he's going to do it, but like Clay probably has a better chance of doing that with Dallas than Russ would with Denver.
I agree. And I think Russ, if he is going to have an impact, he needs more better players around him than Denver has right now. Like, I know you got Jokic, you got Jamal Murray, you got Aaron Gordon, but it needs to be something, maybe it's about the same, but I was thinking it needs to be something more like that Clippers team when he first got to the Clippers, where it was Paul George, it was Kawhi, I felt like they had somebody else too, but there was a gang of people there to kind of help with the scoring load and just let Russ kind of come in and do whatever he needs to do, whether that's, you know, push the pace, be a distributor, get some, you know, easy buckets every now and then. It feels like Denver needs too much of, like, really good Russ. And I don't know if he could offer that on a consistent basis.
Do you think Russ could be someone who becomes something more for them, maybe with his vet presence in the postseason rather than the regular season? Like, maybe he's getting more minutes on the court in the postseason just because he's been there before and stuff like that. And he's still got something to take, but it's just rather just for this time only, because he's not an 82-game player anymore.
I feel like Russ is more of a liability at this point in his career. Like, Russ is, he's not a great defender. He's not a great shot maker. He can be taken out of his game emotionally at this point, and I don't I don't see him over the course of a series doing enough consistently positive things to elevate a team or like, oh, he really helped us out in that series. He just, yeah. Yeah, I didn't like what I saw from Russ at all in last year's postseason against Dallas. It's just a lot of, yeah, it just wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. And they needed him.
And Kawhi was out, right?
Mm-hmm. Didn't he go out in the middle of the series?
I think he went out before the
postseason. Oh, no, he was out. Yeah, he never played.
Started.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He never played.
Okay. I'm not gonna fight for Russ on this one. I don't like the fit with Denver. I disagree with you with the idea that he can't be impactful. He could be impactful in a far different way than he was impactful in his MVP season. I do think he could positively affect the team. I guess I just don't know really what they're looking from Russell Westbrook in Denver. So that one kind of, you know, reading some of the media quotes today, and that's all that really sparked my attention. I continuously forget that Russell Westbrook is, in fact, in Denver. But I do think they are counting on him being a pretty big contributor. We'll see how that plays out. One that we didn't talk about Karl Anthony Towns in New York. We actually didn't really. We talked about the ramifications of that trade and the over kind of arching stuff as it pertains to that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I don't think we touched on at all was Cat in Denver, Cat in New York.
Yeah,
and I don't know. It feels like the Knicks suddenly feel like the 76ers to me, where it's like, all right, there's a bunch of guys that we're just going to try to figure this all out at once, and I'm not expecting them to have it figured out by game 20.
Mm-hmm. Does the way Cat plays, does that fit what they have in New York, do you think? Having Mike Howell around there, OG, Brunson, does the way he plays fit that?
I think it does, because you've got enough guys on that team that defend and play selfless. And Cat can just do what he needs to do, get buckets, get rebounds. Like, he doesn't need to be everything to everybody like he was in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Before Ant got there, and then he kind of slipped into that role a little bit, even like being the number two. You got defenders. Just rebound, hit some open shots, pick and pop, you know, be the scorer that you are, and the others will handle everything else. And that reminded me, I was thinking about over the weekend, when did Cat get this reputation of not being a team player?
Probably, I don't know.
And why?
What, is that a reputation he had?
Well,
or
like,
he has now? I feel like...
We have conversations. You're not the only one. I hear it all the time. Like, oh, can he relinquish, you know, the number one to Ant? Like, when has he ever not shown to be that type of person?
I think it started with Jimmy.
He let Jimmy cook. Jimmy was the one that came out and cursed out everybody at practice.
I know. That's what I mean. I think it started with Jimmy.
But it was because he thought Cat was soft or passive, not because Cat was like, no, I'm the number one. Move, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like, listen to me. Like, he might have liked that better.
Chris Finch didn't help.
With the time that he scored 60?
50.
I mean, that happens all the time in the league.
Well, before, when it was him and Wiggins, like, he never really, maybe I'm just misremembering, I feel like he never, like, he's never been a guy who's, like, really just taking it by the reins or whatever.
Right, but a lot of the question nationally is, oh, man, can Cat accept being not the number one guy in New York? And I was like,
I don't even think it's that.
When has he shown like not to be the type of guy to do what is being asked of him?
I don't even think it's that. More so, Cat just not a. He doesn't have killer instincts. He's not a killer. He's just not that guy.
I think it's like you're asking like when has he shown that he won't do what's best for the team,
or at least try?
Well, yeah, I feel like he has a. I feel like Cat's biggest thing, and this is tough. And it existed before, but I do try to be like sympathetic because of what he's gone through for the last 4 years, or over the last 4 years. But But I think the thing with Cat's always been like, what's his mentality in this game? Like, he's a number one. Or he was in Minnesota. But it didn't feel like he was. And then you get Wiggins there. And then you have, like, different guys come through. And it's like, he's not a – maybe he is a team player, but he's not a leader. It doesn't feel like he's a leader. It doesn't feel like he's you know, thinking about the question Jesse just asked, does his game fit with New York? I think his game fits. I think anytime you have a big who can shoot the way Karl Anthony Towns, it fits. What I wonder is, does his disposition fit? Mm. Does his – I don't really know Cat's personality, so I'm not going to say it like – but does he just seems kind of chill. Mm. Let's go.
Yeah,
I don't know how much it affects Cat if they win or lose, I guess.
It feels like there's a lot – yeah.
I think Cat goes home and he's like, it's cool, like – like, fine.
It's not like
De'Aaron. He's not like Ben Simmons. I don't even think he's like De'Aaron. I think it eats at De'Aaron, but De'Aaron's not going to just show that to you. I think Cat is fine, just win or lose, whatever.
It's over for the Celtics. They're in India.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be talking about the Dubai game. They're going to be talking about the Abu Dhabi games for 10 years.
Sorry, Jesse.
Next day I'll be on here. Yeah, they still haven't recovered from the trip. What do you want me to do?
That damn Abu Dhabi trip.
And the Nuggets are done, too. Yeah, well. Nice knowing these guys.
Damn shame what happened. They should have consulted us. They should have consulted the Kings fan base and their announcers who talked about that trip for 4 years. I just don't think they recovered from India. Yeah, that was 6 years ago, Grant.
It's a whole new team.
Literally half the team is gone. It's cool. Bring up the India trip again.
Sorry to the audience that just came up on the TV. But with Kat... I don't know if that's – Jesse, I don't know if that's fair either. I don't – he hasn't shown that, you know. If anything, what I've seen from Cat more than the other stuff is maybe he has like a – he does too much to like be that dude. Like he'll – come on. Yeah, I'm the leader. Get on my back, everybody. Settle down. Ant is here or whatever, or but like he's trying to be a leader a lot of the times, and that's what I get from him more than he has kind of like a whatever disposition. Like I think he sometimes wants to be everything that everyone says he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like it's natural, so it seems forced when he says things or, you know, has comments after games or in interviews or something like that. And I think that's what frustrates people more than anything is it doesn't come off natural, the things that he's saying. But I think he cares. I think he tries and will try in New York and will continue to try in New York to do whatever's asked of him.
Do you think his mentals are prepared to go to a new city?
We'll see.
That's an unfair question. That's an unfair question.
We'll see. I mean, and it's the city.
Yeah, right, 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 right.
So we'll see. How he handles that and how he has handled some of the scrutiny and things of that nature. But, I don't know. I think I'm just in general, I'm a little bit more of a believer in Cat than most.
Mm-hmm. How do you think this works in New York? You think it's a seamless fit? You think it's, sketchy? You think he's at the five to start? Like, what do you think they're doing?
I think he's at the five to start. I think it works really well. I think they're going to come out and play really good basketball.
Does he move to the four when
Mitchell
Robinson comes back? He just goes to the bench.
Yeah, he goes to the bench because there ain't no room. You got Cat. It's perfect in this respect. This is what happened with the Knicks that I really like about the trade. It just balanced the roster out. It balanced it out. It balanced rotations out. And now maybe you don't have the number of good players that you had before, but you got 6 to 7 guys that know exactly what they're supposed to do, exactly the role they're going to play, exactly the minutes they're going to play. And I think that's easier than trying to figure out, all right, how does Dante feel about minutes being reduced? And, you know, Julius, how does he feel? Like, I think the way it is now is perfect for the Nets. I think it'll be Karl Anthony Towns at the center, OG at the four, Mikal at the three, Hart at the two, Brunson at the one, McBride coming off the bench. And even when Mitchell Robinson comes back, he'll just be the backup big. And Cat, Tibbs will have 7 to 8 guys that he knows he can rely on, and they know their role on that team.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.